The obedient heart is the heart that will learn, the heart that is ready to change.
In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott talking with you again today about a subject which may be very controversial and about which we may be getting some really angry letters. Yesterday, I began a series on the two selves, and I read you some comments from a Christian magazine, from an article written by a Christian psychologist, I believe she is, maybe a psychiatrist, who says that we need to learn to love ourselves, and from Newsweek magazine, February of 1992, that says that self-esteem is a curse. The curse of self-esteem was the title of their cover story. Well, what does the Bible say? That's my great question all the time. Not what does Elizabeth Elliott think about this, or God forbid, what does Elizabeth Elliott feel about this, but does God have something to say about it? Well, he certainly has. And in Ephesians 4, verse 22, we read, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So obviously there are two selves. The obedient heart is the heart that will learn, the heart that is ready to change, the heart that doesn't take as its cues everything that the world is saying, but the one that is ready to line that up with the Word of God. And if it doesn't line up, if it appears to be crooked, then we know where the straight edge is, don't we? And in Colossians 3, we also have another passage that says virtually the same thing. Maybe I'll save that to read toward the end of this program, or maybe even tomorrow if we don't get around to it. But Ephesians 4, 22-24 define these two selves. And I think this is one of the reasons why there's so much confusion about self-image and self-esteem. We're not defining which self we're talking about. Is it the old self that I need to learn to esteem before I can love God? Or am I, as the Bible says, to put away, just ignore, leave behind, reject, renounce the old self? That's the problem. We need to renounce the old self. Well, am I talking to anybody today that didn't have a poor self-image at some time in your life? I doubt it. Do you want to hear about my poor self-image? Well, I could spend the whole time on this program telling you all the reasons why I had such a poor self-image, and I still have to this day. But who wants to hear about that? Just join the club. We've all got poor self-image to a certain degree. And the people who seem to be the most conceited and proud of themselves may be trying to cover up the deep-seated feeling that Mark Twain described. He said, deep down in his heart, no man much respects himself. Well, no real man, I believe, much respects himself, but then Mark Twain didn't know Muhammad Ali. He said, when you're as great as I am, it's hard to be humble. The one reason we have a broadcast called Gateway to Joy is to hold up whatever the world says to the straight edge of Scripture. What the world tells us is usually crooked. Paul says, let God remold your minds from within. And I think many of us need remolding on this subject. We need it desperately. If you have a poor self-image or low self-esteem, I would ask you this question. By what standard? Do you compare yourselves with others? with yourself or with God's standard? Now, if we use God's standard, we will have a pretty accurate assessment of ourselves if we come up with a poor self-image. Because God says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, that we are poor and wretched and blind and naked. We are worms. You know, there's some pretty low terms used of us ordinary sinful folks. But God doesn't tell us that merely to condemn us. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Did you know that? Are you one of those people who feels that God is always up there waving a big stick and ready to crush us, grind us under his heel? He's looking down in love and compassion and the deepest, deepest understanding. He knows how poor and how wretched we are. And yet it is to us that he says, "Be holy, for I am holy." And he is pure holiness. That's what he wants us to be. He made us to be like himself. How can we do it? Well, certainly not by ourselves. It was back in the Garden of Eden that self-love ruined us. It was Adam and Eve's defiance of God's loving command, and the only reason that God gave them that command, "Don't touch the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil," was the same reason that a mother gives a little child a command, "Don't touch the stove, don't play in the street." Because the mother loves the child, because God loves us. He did not create us to bear the burden of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so he said, "Don't eat it." Adam and Eve thought they knew better. Satan came along and persuaded them that there was a better way, that God was really trying to cheat them out of something. And so it was their self-love that made them decide to disobey God. Is there in your life discontent, fear, grudging, anger, self-pity, bitterness, comparing yourself with other people? You'll be discontented if you do. You'll be jealous. You'll want a higher place, as Adam and Eve did. You'll want to upgrade your lifestyle. You will be bitter and resentful if somebody else gets a place or a position or a job or credit or appreciation that you thought you deserved. These are all products of pride. That is an untrue self-image. Untrue if we thought we deserved it, because God tells us that he will give us what we need, and we have to leave the judgment up to him. I think it was my grandfather that told my father, or maybe it was some older man, who told my father when he was a young missionary, "You will receive all the respect you deserve and no more." So remember, we have two selves. Now, which one are you trying to improve when you want to build up your self-esteem or your self-image? What is the true self? It is the original God idea of who I am. I am a unique being made in his image, made to glorify him and to enjoy him. And so are you. There aren't two of us, are there? But all of that list that I just gave you, self-love, discontent, fear, grudging, anger, self-pity, bitterness, comparing ourselves with others, wanting a higher place than God has given us, all of that list springs from self-love. The true self was made not to love itself, but to love God. God will come to the aid of my weakness if I let go of my own notions and commit all that I am to the one who made me. That is, to the self that he designed me to be. I commit myself to the one who made that self so that he can live his life in me, and that losing all, I may cooperate with him in his saving work. I yield my will. I fall in with his daily work. The very things which, from time to time, will oppose my will. But those things are ordained by his love for my purification and for my deliverance from selfishness. Now let me repeat that. You know, those little things every day, the very things which are contrary to what I would choose, they are ordained by his love for my purification, for my deliverance from selfishness. One of the things that I feel very strongly about is following a schedule. Well, there's hardly a day that the Lord doesn't interrupt that schedule with something unexpected, a letter that demands a lot of work, perhaps, or a phone call or a visit, or something that Lars wants me to do. That is my opportunity to recognize that God in his love has ordained this interruption for my purification, for my deliverance from the insistence on my way, my thing, my program. And these are, for each of us, little deaths, aren't they? Our plans go awry. We are misunderstood. Somebody makes a nasty remark. These expose my unwillingness to be shown the nature of my old self. But they also give me the opportunity to be transformed then and there into the image of Christ.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.